My dearly beloved in Christ, today's gospel is taken from the discourse of our Lord to the apostles at the Last Supper. So when our Lord said, "You therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice," our Lord, of course, was about to enter that night into his passion. And indeed, the apostles had great sorrow. But then, on the resurrection, they saw him again. And he said that their joy would be full and that no one would be able to take that joy away from them. It is certainly a wonderful thing to have joy. So many people in the world are searching for happiness. They're searching for contentment. They're searching for joy, but they're searching in the wrong place. They live a sinful lifestyle. They indulge in drugs and alcohol and all types of things which they think will give them alleviation from their distress, from their trials, and will give them joy. And they end up empty-handed. They have not the joy they seek. Because joy is based first and foremost upon a peaceful conscience. Now, 2 weeks ago, on Low Sunday, we had that gospel where our Lord appeared to the apostles in the upper room on the evening of his resurrection. And what are the first words that our Lord spoke to the apostles after he rose from the dead? The very first words, "Peace be to you." And then he repeated it, "Peace be to you." And peace is, you might say, the foundation on which there is joy. If we do not have peace of heart, we cannot have joy. And that comes from a conscience at rest because we know that we're doing the will of God. By doing God's holy will, we have peace and contentment of heart and we experience joy. The early Christians were known for their joy. In fact, there were pagans who were converted just simply by observing the Christians, and yet so many of them were put to death. They were persecuted. Our Lord talks about that as well, that they would be persecuted by the world. But yet they experienced great joy because they knew they would go to heaven. They were living for heaven. So this is something we should have. We should be living a life in the world, but not of it, where we are looking forward to eternity and we have this joy, knowing that we have the true faith, knowing why God made us and what our destiny is, and working for it. Now, to experience this joy, we have to, first of all, be faithful to God's commandments, to the laws of God and the laws of the church. But it is also important that we conform our will in all things to the will of God. And the more conformed our will is to God's will, the more we have peace, the more we have interior joy. And one of the areas that we can see this is with our regards to our state of life and our daily duty. So parents, for example, by fulfilling your daily duty, raising your children well, teaching them, instructing them in the faith, this brings joy because you're fulfilling God's will insofar as your daily duty, but also the choice of a state in life. You could have a boy or girl, a young man, a young woman, whom God is calling to his own service. And if that person rejects that call, fights against that call, he won't experience interior peace because he will know, "I'm resisting what God wants for me." And a vocation is something very important. In fact, I wanted our youth who are considering their vocation to have something to read. There's this excellent booklet just entitled Vocations by Father William Doyle. So we put copies in the vestibule next to the bulletins in a box on the table for our youth who are considering their vocation, who aren't sure what their vocation is. It would be good for you to read this book. But also to pray every day to know, what is God calling me? What does he want me to do with my life? Now, when I think of vocation, there is a particular story in the gospel about the rich young man. And I will read it from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And as he was going forth on his journey, a certain man running up fell upon his knees before him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do to gain eternal life?" You can just imagine the scene. Here's this young man, and we find out a little later he's a rich young man. But he goes up to our Lord and falls on his knees. "What must I do to get to heaven?" And our Lord said, "Thou knowest the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not defraud. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said, "Master, all these I have kept ever since I was a child." And the next words are very interesting. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, "One thing is lacking to thee. Go, sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But his face fell at this saying, and he went away sad because he had great possessions. So notice the words of our Lord here, or the words of the gospel. Our Lord, looking upon him, loved him. And that is what a vocation is. It is an act of predilection on the part of Almighty God. As our Lord said to his apostles, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." God first chooses those he wishes to become priests and religious sisters or religious brothers. And then they correspond with that choice, that call. And that's a vocation. And a young person must not think that they're going to experience some kind of a mystical experience if God is calling them. Because a vocation is more a realization that I could become a religious. I believe God is calling me. I feel this prompting interiorly, and then a correspondence with that call and a saying yes to our Lord. "I will follow you. I will give up the world. I will surrender my life to you." What a wonderful thing it is that a boy or girl, young man, young woman who's unmarried has. You have your life. You have your whole life before you, and God has given you a free will. But think about the excellence of that sacrifice to surrender one's life to Almighty God, to enter the religious life, giving up the world and all that one could have lawfully in the world in order to serve God. And we all should pray for more vocations, because there is such a need today for vocations, for men and women to work for the salvation of immortal souls. What could be a higher calling? And to give their lives to Almighty God. We think of our Lord walking by the Sea of Galilee when he gathered his first apostles. And he walked by and saw two brothers fishing, and their names were Simon and Andrew. And he said to them, "Come, follow me." And it says they left their nets and they followed him. And he went a little farther on and came to another pair of brothers, James and John. And they were mending their nets with their father, Zebedee. And our Lord said to them, "Come, follow me." And it says they left their nets and their boat and their father, and they followed him. So this is what a vocation is: responding to that call of God, giving one's life to Almighty God. What a beautiful thing it is. And for a boy or girl, young man or young woman who's still contemplating, what does God want me to do with my life? Again, I suggest that you read this booklet and then you pray. You pray every day to know, what is God's will for me? Now, the married state is a beautiful state of life. You think about a man and woman that get married and they raise a family and they instruct their children, they mold them, they form them to become saints, to get to heaven. They cooperate with God in the work of creation creating new life, and especially training those children for heaven. What a wonderful dignity parents have. But far above the married state, as excellent as it is, far above it is the religious state. We know this from many words of our Lord, like today's the gospel passage I just read. St. Paul speaks about it. The Council of Trent declared it as a matter of faith that the religious state is more excellent than the married state. And of course, it only stands to reason, because religious give up everything they could have to give their lives to Almighty God. So we speak about joy, we think about joy, we want peace of heart and joy. And it's all involved in doing God's will in everything. And I think if a young man or young woman is being called to the religious state and rejects that call, he or she is always going to be thinking later on, maybe I should have followed that prompting. And perhaps they will have unhappiness. So joy, a wonderful gift. It doesn't come from the world. It comes from God. It comes from a heart at peace with God, seeking to know and do his holy will in all things. Let us all strive for that, to conform our wills to the will of God, and then we will experience this joy that God alone can give. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.